Track 2, Attitude Assessment Exercise. If you are uncomfortable with the topic of physical contact boundaries and the balance of power with the mental health professional, take a second to do some honest soul searching to see if your self-talk falls into one of the following categories. The first one is what I'll call the bad apple theory, and it goes something like this. Therapists who abuse clients are bad apples that bear no relationship to the rest of the mental health profession. If you feel this way, I feel your belief may be fueled by the few cases of repeated sexual abuse by a professional whose cruel and perhaps bizarre behavior seems far removed from that of caring and compassionate mental health professionals. It's easy to write these people off as sociopaths and take an us-them attitude. But in fact, as you know, problems with the balance of power in the therapeutic relationship are a perpetual difficulty for therapists. Secondly, regarding your self-talk and this attitude assessment exercise, at a certain level, do you want to blame the victim? Even when the sexual violation is recognized, do you find yourself looking at the victim's emotional problems or personality traits? After all, haven't we all counseled clients who are on the borderline of reality that could misconstrue even the most innocent remark or gesture as a sexual violation? As you know, focusing on client characteristics is a common strategy used by lawyers who defend those professionals accused of sexual abuse. Some of us would like to pathologize the client to such an extent that they appear to exonerate or partially exonerate the professional. I found in my practice a typical description of a female client who was sexually involved with her therapist was depicted by the opposing counsel as hysterical and promiscuous. Thirdly, regarding your self-talk, ask yourself, is sexism involved in your thinking? The old saying, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned, seems to underlie feelings of some judges in our court system today. One of my clients, I'll call Mary, was found by the court to be making false allegations. The court felt these allegations were vindictive acts against her male therapist, whom the court felt Mary perceived as being disinterested and rejecting. Fourthly, for whatever reason, you may feel that therapists never feel attracted to their clients. I'm surprised when I talk with other mental health professionals when they see therapists as being benign, compassionate eunuchs, so to speak, far removed from the trials and tribulations of ordinary people. Some view all therapists as dedicated and nurturing parental figures. Think about it. This belief is carried over into our colleges and university training programs, where there usually is little or no instruction pertaining to sexual attraction to clients. Fifth in this attitude assessment is, what is your professional code of ethics? Do you feel we are totally able to police ourselves, so to speak? Do you feel mental health professionals are able to stand apart from their biases, like the ones I've just mentioned? Question 2. What are some biases against the validity of the topic of sexual abuse of power by therapists towards their clients?